listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Nazarene is gone.
You are disciples of the Nazarene. Once the Romans realize your message remains a threat, they will kill each of you.
We are fishermen, not fighters.
My son chose you for a reason, Pete.
Go into the world and preach the gospel.
Already beyond counting!
Be healed.
That's a commercial for a new TV series, A.D., The Bible Continues, produced by Roma Downey and Mark Burnett. It's a sequel to their previous series, The Bible, and it's just one of several, in fact, we might even say a small many, Bible-based programs that are cropping up on television. They coincide generally with the Easter season, the approach of Easter, and that's probably the reason they're on now. Why are these so popular? And at least the networks seem to think that they're popular, along with, of course, other programs that are more, well, what's it, and a documentary approach to the Bible, and generally they get most of their facts wrong, not very well fact-checked. Should Christians be watching these? Is there any benefit to it at all? Joining us to talk about a New York Times story about these Bible-based TV shows, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Someone sees you on the street in the mall or something, and you're wearing your clerical collar and say, hey, you're a pastor. Aren't you excited? Isn't that great that now we have all these Bible-based programs on television this time of year? What do you say?
I usually would say something like, I think it's great that people are interested, but you know, you don't have to wait for a network or a film company to make something biblical. You can just come to Mount Olive and we read, teach, study, and preach Scripture every week.
When we say it's Bible-based, how loosely or tightly based is, well, let's just take as an example the television series that was the prequel to the one that's out now, A.D., The Bible Continues, before they just had The Bible. How well-based on the Bible was that program?
All the names are right. locations were right. There's a fair amount of it that was okay, but then you would have like these moments that just stuck out like terrible sore thumbs. And eventually, when you took a step far enough back and looked at it, you saw that really the central story of Scripture was being skewed or not presented the way Scripture actually presents it. So that was a real, you know, problem for me watching it. I watch all sorts of movies and shows, and my wife didn't really enjoy watching The Bible, the miniseries, with me because I was like crawling up and down the sides of the wall as I was watching it. One thing that you know, having watched all the way through, and we talked about it quite a while ago, but one of the things that they did was they had these angels that they had all over the place, and they made them kind of kung fu ninja angels with swords and stuff. And of course, in Scripture, angels, can be very dangerous. Like God uses them for dangerous tasks in protecting the children of Israel and the promise that He made to Adam and Eve in the garden. But all the way through, you know, it's the same actors playing these angels, and as it's going along, I think to myself, hey, I think I know what they're going to do with this. Those are going to be the angels that are at the tomb when Jesus isn't there. Those are going to be the angels that are at the ascension. Nope. Those angels just disappear out of the story when they finally get around to those parts. So, you know, Scripture clearly talks about angels being there, and I thought maybe they were doing a creative thing with that. Maybe they were trying to, you know, make this one big long story where it all kind of weaves together, but they just, that part just didn't happen. So that's the way that was. And I mean, there's hundreds of things that you could point out along the way in that original miniseries. I watched the trailer for this one, and the continuing one, lots of different actors. They don't have the same actors as was in this previous miniseries. And it really kind of carries through the story in more detail after the resurrection. That seems to be the focus of this particular new offering from Roman Downey and Mark Burnett.
Now, for their part, I mean, we can't judge motives or anything like that, but for their part, they're not only attempting to make entertaining television, they do believe that they are trying to get across a Christianish message. What does the basic message end up being, however?
Again, like, yeah, you're right. Like, their motives are likely very genuine, but it's very hard sometimes to look at this stuff when, how do I put it? Like, okay, when we talked about Exodus, Gods and Kings, right? And Ridley Scott was the guy who was putting this together. He's not making this for a religious, you know, church body. Like, he's not making it for the Missouri Synod or the Roman Catholic Church or something like that. And these guys kind of aren't either. But they're squarely in the "we believe in Jesus" camp of things, where Ridley Scott is an agnostic who is moving hopefully towards a firm faith and foundation in Christ. So these guys, I hold them to a higher standard as a pastor when I sit down to watch this, because they are openly Christian and they have the desire to tell the story, in which case I want them to be super careful when they do this. Like, they are making a significant financial, risk by doing this kind of thing, and they hope to make some money on it, I imagine. But they are also coming out with a confession of faith. They're saying they're making the final editorial decision and saying, this is what I want to be out there on people's television sets, on their smartphones, on their tablets, whatever. And I really want them to be careful. And I realize that they're likely done everything they're going to do, and it's just going to come out now, and they're not going to hear what I have to say about it. But I want them to be super careful to actually be really faithful and not bring a bunch of speculative stuff into it. Now, that is uniquely, perhaps, a Lutheran concern. The speculative aspect of it is where things really get off the rails.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We'll take a break when we come back, talk more about a New York Times story on Bible-based television programs. Some of them claim to be kind of documentary in nature, or going searching for something secret or recently hidden or perhaps little known about the Bible. We'll talk about some of those ventures in broadcasting with Pastor Ted Giese on the other side of this break. It's Monday, March the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel, during the coffee hour, or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues Etc. as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
We talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org.
Before science, weather might have seemed almost magical. And there are lots of stories in the Bible about incredible phenomena. You ever heard the story of the burning bush?
Moses has this amazing encounter.
That's when he comes across this very odd sight, the burning bush. The miraculous aspect is the way that the bush is burning, but is not consumed.
They look like fire tornadoes, but they're truly just fire whirlwinds. The heat causes air to rise rapidly. And if you have just enough crosswinds or a little turbulence in there, you can get a little eddy that forms.
While some believe Moses saw a fire tornado, others believe it was a real miracle.
Because it certainly is an odd weather phenomenon.
Just a little bit from Top 10 Bible Weather, another Bible-based program on television this time of year, along with the CNN show. I think the Smithsonian Channel has one. Nova has one, of course. AD is the miniseries that's coming out, attempting to chronicle the days after Jesus' resurrection. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're talking about a New York Times story about Bible-based TV shows. One more question on the kind of trying to tell the story version of these things. When Mel Gibson made The Passion of Christ, he took a very bare-bones storytelling approach to it. I think he was interested in what the story meant, but that was not the point of the movie. It was one of those movies that was kind of what you would have seen had you been there, even to the point of putting the actors in the position of speaking in the original languages. Okay? So that was the storytelling here. But that's not what's going on with these. They are trying to say, this not only is what happened, this is what it means. Is that part of the problem in this kind of Bible-based programming, Ted?
Well, you know, if whoever makes one of these things, they're going to bring their denominational flavor into it. Like, it's going to be there. I mean, unless they are just very carefully working from the text, it's going to be there. So even the Mel Gibson movie, it had a bunch of Roman Catholic touches on it that that aren't in Scripture either. So it's not completely safe from that editorializing. And I think that can be the danger, is that people will sit down and they'll go, oh, well, you know, here's, this is just like some Bible show. And then maybe it's all pietism. Maybe it's works righteousness related stuff. Maybe it's not salvation through faith by grace alone. So this could be the problem with this kind of thing.
We heard that coming out of the break, the top 10 Bible weather, trying to get in on the Bible craze on television. And one thing we heard there was at least an attempt at a naturalistic explanation for something that is presented in Scripture as just a plain old-fashioned miracle. No two ways about it, no naturalistic explanation necessary. Is that another pitfall of how television wants to explain the events of the Bible?
Perhaps. I hope that, like, people watching this stuff, and this is my hope all the time, this is hopefully why, like, this is why we even look at this stuff, is for them to really practice some discernment, to think about what they're seeing. So if they sit down and the Weather Network has the burning bush, you know, a weather phenomena, you know, like it could be this eddy of, you know, some sort of fire whirlwind, or it could be, an actual theophany, they may be setting up a bit of a false dichotomy. You know, God is a God who works through means. Was there actual fire there? Like, again, this gets to the point where there's some speculation. But they are kind of setting up a situation where you decide. You get to make the decision. So instead of having, like, it be objective, and you looking at it and going, okay, well, what does Scripture tell me happened there? And I'm going to go with that. Instead, the temptation is to allow you to have you personally to be making some sort of decision about these things. And then that can turn into kind of a cafeteria-style pick-and-choose kind of scenario. This bristles against everything that our society teaches, because in general, the society and the university system and everything, they don't like the idea of objective truth being in Scripture and placing yourself under that. They don't like it. And so this kind of thing is going to appeal to people. I mean, not to everybody. I mean, not everybody even watches the Weather Network. But there's going to be, like we said, there's going to be a bunch of these on all sorts of different channels.
This is my private theory, and I want to know what you think about it. Because I think it's related to a broader trend in the media, in particular in film. That is, it wasn't that long ago that Peter Jackson completed this life's work of putting together the trilogy, and then of course the prequel, The Hobbit, of J.R.R. Tolkien's work of classic fantasy literature. Okay, and they're kind of it's an ancient time, it's an ancient place. There's elements of miracles and magic all through all of that, and I'm wondering whether or not the programmers in the media say, look, we can't do that because that's already been done and done so well that no one could ever really do it. And we're not smart enough to figure out something else. But the Bible, they kind of wore robes too and beards. Beards and robes, that's all we really need, and a little magic thrown in. I think my theory is that's part of the appeal of these things, or part of the reason that the networks like to go with that. What is your thought with about a minute before we wrap up?
Well, it might be the case. I think that that's probably not too far off. I know that, like, there is a desire not to be left behind, like, when it comes to this kind of stuff. So last year, everything was Bible, Bible, Bible. We had the Noah movie. We had Exodus, Gods and Kings. We had lots of stuff, right? So the television networks and these other production companies, they don't want to be left behind. So then they look at that and they go, oh, well, we should maybe have some sort of Bible thing in production here. So then they get busy at that. Well, there's a bit of lag time. So as those movies came out in the theaters, then the TV studios and other studios start to work on it. And now we see the fruit of their labor coming out this year. Interestingly, in the theaters this year, there really aren't a lot of those kind of big Bible epic movies. I think there's one slated for July, which is the story of Mary. But there's way less this year than the previous year. So I think what we're seeing is a bit of a the fruits of them scrambling and going, okay, well, we want to get in on that. We want to get in on that sector of society to get into some of the money that we can get through that that avenue of making things. I mean, they can make whatever they want, really, you know. But you're right. It's going to be a lot of beards and sandals and robes. And from looking at some of the trailers for some of these things that are coming up, there's some pretty bad beards.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. this Monday afternoon, March the 16th. We're going to take up a story of, well, it actually comes from a medical journal, Nature. Some concerns and a moratorium being called for on what's called DNA editing coming from within the scientific community. Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi; Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California; Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina; Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas; Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona; St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio; Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington; Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana; Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky; and St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.